I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. And now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. And, of course, movies have come back to some extent. How has Tenet done so far at the box office, Kevin?
Well, it's been interesting. So, good morning to you guys. I've seen Tenet four times. And so,
Do you understand it yet? Can you follow the plot?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And this is not a bit. I think I probably, at this point, after seeing it four times, understand maybe 75% of it. It's a very complicated film. And, the best part about leaving that movie is, talking to people who haven't seen it yet or have seen it for the first time with you. And you just kind of, go through the movie and you find more paths on how to open up the puzzle pieces that Christopher Nolan has put together. But, yeah, I've gone four times to the AMC Tysons in IMAX. That's kind of – and I've been paying for it every time, except for the first press screening I went to. Everything else, I've paid the $20 for the IMAX ticket.
Oh, you're in the hole, basically $100.
Oh,
for
no,
Tenet.
No question, dude. I bought six people the other night to the showing on Tuesday night, and I brought my wife, my father-in-law, my friend from college. I brought my next door neighbor. I'm just trying to get.
How many of them liked it?
Oh, we all loved it. Did everybody get it? No. we're all in the same boat where we're still trying to figure it all out. But if anyone's planning on seeing it, make sure you go to an IMAX theater. It's the only way to see it. But, JP, you're talking about box office. I mean, the movie made at this point has made over $150 million worldwide, which is a really interesting thing. But the problem with box office reporting at a time like this is that there's nothing to compare it to. So when Tenet has a $20.2 million opening week domestically, that number is a very low number for what that movie should have made, considering how big of a deal it was, how big the budget was. But then you have to think about it this way. New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, three of the biggest movie markets in the country, two of them are the two biggest movie markets in the country, LA and New York, are not open. So the millions of dollars that would have been made in those markets, you can't – that money is not there.
Sounds like a big number. Are people loving the movie? Not the critics, the people that are going to the movie, because Jason had a buddy and he sent me the text, yep, which made me think, you know what, maybe I don't want to go see it. He thought it was the worst movie ever.
Wait, Tenet? Who said it was the worst movie
my
ever?
My buddy Andy said it's the worst thing he's ever seen. And I told that to JP, and he just laughed because JP was thinking about seeing it. I think Cakes was thinking about seeing it too.
Opening weekend, and but then
I just don't know. Here's my question, Kevin: how do you enjoy a movie that you've seen four times? You've spent $100, and you still have you have no idea what's going on in the movie. How is that entertaining?
I have a very, very good idea what's going on in the movie. I'm saying what I say. I understand 75 to 80% of it. I'm talking about the movie deals with time travel inversion aspects. So there's multi layers to it that are still streaming around in my mind. Again, the through line, the major idea of the film. This is not a spoiler. This is the basic plot.
Is trying to save the world.
Right, he's trying to save the world, and that's all you really need to know. But if you really want to dive into it and understand all the different timelines and the different elements of inversion and how everything's being played around with, that stuff is really investigative. I feel like Yes, if you see the movie the first time, you walk out of it and you're confused. I find it to be more of an engaging experience when the director wants you to work with the movie. Now, Jason, you do a bad bit sometimes where, like, one person will tell you a movie's bad and everybody yep. else will tell you it's great. And then
he
you
owns that,
that
bit.
Person. You love doing
I'm kinda
that
with
bit.
Him on that. I'm kinda but with
that's,
him on that.
I just know that that's the type of movie that I would not enjoy. You and I just have different tastes, I think, when it comes to that.
Jason, you've been doing that wacky bit for years. Like you love going, all right, everybody else is saying it's great. Okay, oh, Drab said it was bad, so I'm not going. Like, come on.
Well, true. True, but if you listed your top 20 movies of all time and I listed my top 20 movies of all time, they're completely different.
Totally get that. Now, one other thing I do want to say about the box office numbers is this. So not only are New York, L.A., and San Francisco not open – any theater that's open in the country is operating at 25% to 40% capacity.
Yeah.
So clearly, like, anybody who's writing reports that Tenet bombed at the box office
right.
is just not understanding the circumstances that
right.
we
they're
are in.
They're not plugged in. They're not giving you the whole picture.
They're morons. Yeah. They're morons. Yeah.
If anything, in my opinion, you know, Christopher Nolan, he's getting a lot of negative feedback from just people online going, why are you releasing this film? You know, why are you putting it out during the middle of a pandemic, et cetera? And I think at the end of the day, I think Christopher Nolan's intentions are to help save movie theaters. I think he's trying to bring back the movie theaters. He puts a big movie in theaters, and people are employed. They're back working. Now, again, this is all about your own safety threshold. If you don't feel comfortable going, no judgment whatsoever. And I find, you know, for me, I've gone four times. I'm going to go for a fifth time next week. I enjoy it personally.
He has no kids, Cakes. This is why
I know.
He doesn't have any kids. He does have dog. But he doesn't have to spend money on kids.
Are you going to make babies?
I mean, think about it, by the way. I think what Jason said, $100 for four times, he just said he spent well over $100. He spent hundreds of dollars.
He's doing IMAX. Those tickets are butt expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're doing with your
Kevin, are you going to make babies? Are you trying to make babies yet?
We're still talking about that. I mean, right now we have two new dogs, so we're just – I mean, Lauren's doing really, really great with everything going on in her career, and she's trying to do more stuff with the movies, and she's been doing a heck of a job reviewing movies on WBAL, and she's been doing a lot of interviews. She's actually found this really cool niche of, like, a young adult audience where she's really kind of pumping out big interviews and getting great hits on them. So for me, we're both just very career oriented at this point, and you know, I don't know exactly when we're going
to
do that.
It's a private decision anyway. You don't have to answer.
Yeah. I don't mind answering.
You wanted to talk about the fall movies, which will be coming up. So Tenet's the first big one. What's coming out in the fall that we have to keep our eye on?
Well, so that's a great question, and here's why that's interesting. So we talk about Tenet and the box office numbers and whether or not that's going to bode well for the future films coming out the rest of this year. So right now we have a pretty big slate the rest of the year if theaters can remain open. Big question is, you know, is there going to be a second wave? People are wondering all these different things, what's going to happen in the fall. So theoretically, if the box office numbers for Tenet don't meet the expectations that the studios and the major executives want, then we might see some of the next films I'm going to mention to you delayed even further. So right now, Wonder Woman 1984 is supposed to come out October 2nd. So we're like 3 weeks away from that. But I feel like that movie hasn't really ramped up its promotion, which I saw some articles online this week. People were saying, like, okay, we're not seeing a lot of promotion for Wonder Woman. What does that mean? Does that mean they're maybe they might move? I saw a Deadline article saying it could move. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. So November, then you got Bond, right? James Bond's going to be a big movie in November, No Time to Die. The trailer for that's amazing.
It's still Daniel Craig, right?
It's
Bond.
Yeah, it's his final performance. Ana de Armas is in it, who's amazing in Knives Out. Really, really amazing actor. And also then December, you have Dune. There was the new Dune trailer this week. I don't know if you guys are familiar. Actually,
is that Batista? I saw a trailer. That's EB's guy.
It's my guy,
and that's
man.
Dave Batista to you so now, Ricky.
Jason, the director of Dune, is a guy that you love. So this is actually interesting. This is going to be a really interesting test, I think, for your movie going experience. So I know you're not a big sci-fi person, Jason. but the director who directed Dune did the following films:
right.
Sicario,
love it,
Prisoners.
Love it.
Good.
Prisoners, Arrival. Did you see Arrival?
Who was in Arrival?
Amy Adams.
Yeah, that's
Amy Adams.
Oh, the one where they're squirting.
It's like Aliens land on
Earth. Yeah, it's way different. Way different genre.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's Denis Villeneuve. He's a phenomenal filmmaker. But Jason, I know you like Prisoners and Sicario. That's the director who's doing Dune. Now, Dune is going to be a major sci-fi film, no question. I don't. Did you like Blade Runner 2049? Did you guys see that?
No, didn't see that.
That's the funniest question you've asked in 5 years.
I saw Blade Runner 1985 or whatever it was.
Kevin, here's a bulletin. Nobody saw Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, nobody. I love that movie. Cakes, when are you seeing Tenet?
Possibly this weekend.
All right, you need to text me. Are you going to go in Maryland or Virginia?
Virginia, it's looking like.
All right, go to AMC Tyson's. See it at the IMAX theater. So the movie was shot with IMAX cameras.
Cakes is kind of a nerd. He'll like it.
No, here's the thing.
He's not paying
here's
what extra. I, he's squeaking. He's not going to
no,
do
No, I'll
IMAX.
Do IMAX. It's fine. Here's what I like from my movies, Kevin. Straightforward. Not having to see them five times and able to comprehend what's actually happening on the screen.
But, Cakes, I want you to call me when you get out of the movie, and I guarantee you the conversation that we're going to have. You're going to have so many questions. This is going to be like a fun conversation. It's like a really fun thing to like experience. And I think the IMAX thing, I'm telling you, Cakes, you need it is one of the biggest and loudest films I've ever seen. It's like going to a concert. It's like riding a roller coaster with a concert feel. That's how the movie feels.
Kevin,
it's an insane experience.
Are you going to talk at all about the Mission Impossible 7? I saw some of the clips of that, and Tom Cruise at 58 is insane. The stunts that he continues to do, he blows me away.
I'm with you 100%. And I've been doing this job now for a long time, and Tom Cruise, hands down, one of the coolest people I've ever met and talked to. But going to the stunt aspect of it, every single time I interview him, he is so pumped up about all these crazy stunts he does. Like, he gets a high off of it. Like, I mean,
literally the world is his playground.
Unreal. Dude, he's going to space next. His next movie is filming in space.
Yeah. How's he doing that?
Not fake space, real space?
No, he is filming a movie on the International Space Station next. That's his next movie.
That is absurd.
I am not kidding you. Dude, honest, like listen, this Christopher Nolan, Tom Cruise, like Christopher Nolan, actually, are people who care about the audience's experience and immersion in films. That's why when you see the Mission Impossible movies, it's all real, basically. I mean, he's hanging off the side of that airplane. He's driving that motorcycle around the circle in Paris. I mean, he's diving out of an airplane at 30,000 feet and doing a free fall while trying to catch up to a camera so he can be on frame. I mean, it's unbelievable what this guy does. But, Eric, the movie you're referring to, there was this amazing footage that came out of him riding that motorcycle off that gigantic hill.
Yes.
And just diving off of it.
It was a ramp.
Parachute.
It wasn't a hill. Yeah.
No, it was a ramp that had an upward angle. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. That's what ramps generally are.
It was on a major, it was on like a mountaintop. That's what I was
kind of. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it was a really, really cool stunt. And again, that's the kind of actor who doesn't need to do that, but he does it probably because he loves it, but also because he knows that audience.
He's the greatest.
He's amazing.
A huge Tom Cruise guy. He's the greatest.
Dude, I'll tell you something right now. I'll never forget this. I was in Vienna, Austria for the Mission Impossible Rogue Nation premiere, and it was like 90 degrees or whatever it was, and I get to the premiere, and there are like hundreds and hundreds of people swarming around the theater. Tom Cruise shows up 2 hours early and meets every fan, takes a photo with every fan, then hits the carpet, and then the carpet probably had 60 reporters, okay, down a line. There were two sections of it. The dude literally walked and did every single reporter. When he got to me, which I was probably number 25 on the carpet that day, he makes you feel like you are the only person that matters in that moment. The dude was like, I'll never forget, I had my Mission Impossible ticket with me, my first and second Mission Impossible ticket. And but the fact that Tom Cruise, like, and again, I know he's selling a movie. I totally get that it's a promotional thing. I'm not hanging out with Tom Cruise outside of these things, but still, to make a reporter feel like their questions matter, like he actually cares, he's listening to you, and he gives these amazing, amazing answers with very much enthusiasm. I just always have respected him. I find that every actor should look at Tom Cruise and go, that's how a celebrity should act in regards to promoting a film. And again, I'm not talking about anything.
That's promotion, by the way, because I just want to interject. I think he's a phenomenal actor. He's never won an Academy Award. But like, if you went back to watch Born on the 4th of July.
He still has it?
I think he's 0-4. Born on the 4th of July, he should have won an Academy Award for that. And there are others.
How about Rain Man? I thought he was silly in Rain Man.
Yeah,
but Dustin Hoffman carried that one.
JP, you're so right, dude. Like, some of his best movies are movies that, like, you know, the Mission Impossible films are fun. But Born on the 4th of July, the Oliver Stone film, also a great movie he made was a movie called Vanilla Sky. Did you guys ever see Vanilla Sky?
Yeah, it's weird.
That's very strange.
Nope.
That was with Penelope Cruz, right?
Yeah, and Cameron Diaz. And that was Cameron Crowe, the guy who directed Almost Famous. And so, oh, you know what's one of Tom Cruise's best roles that people just sleep on is Tropic Thunder. That might be one of my favorite Tom Cruise performances.
Never saw that.
He loved it. It's pretty good at the end.
Oh, you guys. Okay, all right. Anybody out there listening right now, there are two out-of-this-world Tom Cruise performances that people should see. There's a movie called Magnolia, which was a Paul Thomas Anderson
film. The one where frogs start dropping out of the sky.
I'm out.
Remember Tom Cruise's performance, though? He was like the inspirational speaker. He was hilarious in that movie. And then, obviously, you got to see Vanilla Sky if you haven't seen that, or Tropic Thunder.
His best role is Jack Reacher. Come on.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Jack Reacher's
sarcasm, Kevin. All right, Kevin, we got to run. So Wonder Woman in a couple
If sarcasm weeks. Just came up to you and screamed in your face and said, I'm sarcasm, you wouldn't know what it is.
So, Kevin, we got Wonder Woman in a couple weeks. Then you say we've got Bond 25.
JP.
And what other one?
And then Dune in December, and then obviously a lot of films. I think the big question is going to be what's going to happen with these movies. I just, you know, we're all seeing the news every single day. There's just bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with these fall movies. But right now, Tenet took a chance. And I don't know if it's going to be the one that's going to be. I hope it gets more people back in theaters.
Last night I saw two good things. I saw an NFL game and a college football game. Two good things.
Kevin, man, we got to run. It's Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5.
See
we'll
you
talk
later.
To you next week.
Later,
hey,
Kevin.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get into Skip Bayless. We don't talk about him that much on this show.
I don't know much about this story.
Controversial comments. We'll get into that next here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. It is a Football Friday. We're going to go around the NFL with the top five matchups coming up at 7:45 with the Junkies Blitz. But we wanted to touch on kind of a tough topic. Deals with depression that came to light because Skip Bayless on his Undisputed show with Shannon Sharp made some controversial statements. Here's Skip Bayless from the show.
I'm going to ask our audience to feel free to go ahead and condemn me if you choose as cold-blooded and insensitive on this issue. I have deep compassion for clinical depression. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the quarterback of an NFL team, you know this as well as I, better than I do. It's the ultimate leadership position in sports. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
You are commanding an entire franchise. What's the roster now? Is it 53 still?
53, but yeah. I think they got like 15 practice squad guys.
Okay. But you're commanding a lot of young men and some older men. And they're all looking to you to be their CEO, to be in charge of the football team. because of all that, I don't have sympathy for him going public with, I got depressed. I suffered depression early in COVID to the point that I couldn't even go work out. Look, he's the quarterback of America's team.
First of all,
he forgot to mention his brother died.
Right, his brother committed suicide.
Right, I mean, that's why he's
depressed. Not just COVID. By the way, right. I think we're all had a little bit of depression. Maybe not JP. I know I had a little depression during the COVID period, but
of course,
that's just what it did to people. But he forgot to mention. Oh yeah, and his brother passed away. Don't you think that had something to do with it?
Of course,
the biggest part.
Of course, it did.
Yeah,
Bayless.
Well, I thought that was just assumed. Is Bayless just doing it for
reaction? Is he just saying stupid things for reaction?
He prefaced it at the beginning by saying, go ahead and condemn me.
Yeah, I actually saw a really good take by Bomani Jones about it. And he actually said he felt sorry for Skip Bayless because it was easy for everybody just to pile on and go, oh, he should be fired. He's an idiot for what he said. And I don't even think they listened to the first part where he says he does feel for people that have clinical
depression.
Which,
by the way, I believe Skip's brother committed suicide. Think about that.
Why didn't he mention that?
Put it in context.
But Bomani Jones' point is that he's trapped. He's become a caricature, right? He's the guy who goes after LeBron James. He's the guy who goes after all of these guys. So he's kind of trapped. And so he's got to make the bad guy. He's got to take that bad guy stance every time.
He needs to keep one up.
I almost think that he doesn't even truly believe some of the things he says. He's just saying to be contrary. And to get reaction, and we're talking about it.
Right, he's trying to make money. Look,
let's just assume he does mean it, Jason.
He's made millions of dollars.
Well, if he does mean it, he's an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. He's just very, very – it's just a very, very callous take for something that we all have family members and friends that have dealt with this. It's a pervasive thing. I mean, depression causes people to take their own lives.
By the way, sure. And it helps to talk about it.
But
believe
Jason,
me, I went through it about 10 years ago. I actually went to see someone because I was having some problems up here, right here.
Right,
between the ears.
And I went and talked to somebody.
Yeah.
And it helped me. So it helps to talk about your depression.
Now, the part that you didn't hear, like when he went on to say his point was he doesn't want the NFL quarterback to kind of express that publicly as a leader that he's depressed and talk about not working out and things like that.
Kind of like a tough guy routine.
He basically wants the quarterback to say all the right things and do all the right things regardless. Like say, I've been working out hard. I'm doing everything it takes because he believes that's the leader. And then everybody would follow that leader.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just amazed that he's still raking in so much money. Who's watching all the hot takery?
I don't know, but they do well.
I haven't consumed Skip Bayless since he was like at ESPN 15 or 20 years ago.
You're an intelligent human, but
who's
a lot of
watching
are.
That?
I don't watch any
people
of those.
Support.
I don't watch any of those ESPN talk shows.
I'm the only one. I mean, I don't watch.
I don't
them
even
on
watch
a regular
ESPN
basis,
unless there's a game on.
But I will watch.
That's
them.
What I mean. I watch the games.
I'll give you the opposing view. You can all disagree with me. I find those shows entertaining. They talk about the top topics of the day. Sometimes have, you know, good guests in the sports world. So I'll check it out.
Every time I watch ESPN, I mean, I watch Game Day. All right, I watch Game Day too. But every time I watched a lot of these shows, these talk shows, I felt like they were almost rooting for all of these sports to be shut down. Because that's all they talked about. And I just, some of the hosts, don't want to name them, but I feel like they were rooting for everything just to shut down.
100%.
And I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Well, I know this. I watched one yesterday, and it was, I mentioned this earlier, it was Keyshawn Johnson, Dan Orlovsky, and I think his name's Marcus Spears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He used to play in the NFL.
How about his?
And that was
Marcus Spears, by the way, moved in locally. I have intel on this, and has a daughter who's like 13 and 6'2", and a beast volleyball player.
Well, of course. It's called genetics.
Hold on. Marcus Spears lives in D.C. now?
Maybe Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, but it was one of the pregame shows. I don't know if it was like NFL Live or whatever. I didn't know the new host. It was a blonde woman, really attractive. So four people, and they were essentially doing the same thing. Hot take was, do the Chiefs go 19-0? Mm-hmm. And I know Keyshawn and Marcus Spears were just piling on Orlovsky because Orlovsky, went through the schedule and said they weren't playing any run heavy teams.
Hmm.
And thought that they had a chance. But it's just doing a topic. But as it comes to Skip Bayless, look, he prefaced it. It's a tough position. He was taking this position that Dak Prescott should be a tough guy, as you say. Don't expose any sort of perceived weakness.
He knew what he was doing. He knew he was going to wrangle people.
Not working out, and it pissed a lot of people off.
Here's the thing. People, we know this just from our limited TV experience, which we've done here and there over 20 years. And I'll never forget, we've told the story a million times, when we had our dalliances with ESPN and we were doing demos and all that. We would be on the phone for like 2 hours scripting everything you're going to say. That's one of the things we hated about it. Is that so, like, this was all scripted. Shannon Sharp knew what he was going to say. Skip knew what he was going to say. The producers knew what he was going to say. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew what he was going to say. And it could simply be kind of what Jason was saying, where it's just, it's fake TV in a sense, where there's a topic. And you're going to give one perspective, and the other person's going to give another perspective.
Right. God forbid you pivot or go off script a little bit.
Right.
We can't have any of that.
We hated that.
These shows, especially the two-man shows, usually these two-man shows have a woman setting them up, right? Yeah. So the woman sets them up on both ESPN, which is First Take, right? That's Stephen A. Smith, and now it's Max Kellerman. So the woman sets them up, gets out of the way, and then the two guys have to have point and counterpoint. We grew up with the show. And I don't know if you guys watched it. I watched it with my dad. Crossfire used to be on CNN, right? It was a political talk show, but it was two guys.
Never saw it.
They never agree.
Never agreed.
Never
right.
would agree.
I think
so
Tucker
that's
was
point.
On that show at one
Maybe
point.
Maybe way
wasn't
back
he?
In the day.
Yeah, I think
way
so.
Back. I mean, I remember the guy that used to go to Maryland games, Novak, was on that show.
Yeah.
I think his name was Robert Novak.
Robert Novak.
Doesn't even
yeah.
matter who was on the show. The point is, it's a point counterpoint. So it's very rare that on those two-man shows, doesn't matter what the topic is. It could be, are the Lakers going to close out the series in the next game against the Rockets?
Right. Stephen A. Smith and Kellerman, like you mentioned, they always battle and debate over whatever topic. They never
agree.
They
all know it's all scripted. They all know what they're going to say. So this wasn't an off-the-cuff thing like
what
we do.
That part of me believes that Bayless doesn't truly believe that or condone faking your depression or not talking about it. I just feel like it's a point counterpoint.
Well, Eric, but I do think there are people, and we can open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. There are people, and I bet if you went to social media, you'd see. Sure, there was an avalanche of people saying that Bayless is an idiot and Bayless should be fired.
Right.
But there were some people going to his side. As Cake says, there's that old football tough guy mentality that still exists.
Yeah, let people be ignorant.
Well, that's just
I think that what Skip said was stupid, but I defend his right to say
but
it.
But he makes $8 million a year.
Yeah, and if people are going to watch the show, I don't
so
care.
Jealous.
But
jealous
I mean, it's a stupid opinion, and it does a disservice to a lot of people that are that suffer from depression. But
I get depressed when I think about how much money Skip Bayless is raking in.
I know, can't believe
that's
it.
That's when I get depressed.
Me too.
Drabby, what were you?
Well, I just don't, I mean, not to defend Skip at all, but just because it was a pre-planned segment doesn't mean he put a ton of thought into it or thought about the ramifications of what he was actually saying.
I don't think he put a ton of thought, but he knew. He prefaced it by saying, basically you're going to want to cancel me.
I mean, I would hope that he's, because I think he knew what he was going to say was going to, not sit well with everybody, but it might. He's an older man, but it doesn't mean that can't have a coachable moment. And hopefully Fox pulls him aside and they talk to him about this. And he comes today with an opinion and says, I need to learn more about this. And I'm sorry. It was inappropriate for Skip to be talking about that in the way of his personal life. I can almost understand, like, if you're in a way, like if Dak has serious issues and he can't focus on being a quarterback for the Cowboys. But Skip doesn't know that. Like, that's an inside issue. It's just way too early to be speculating on something like that.
Or the ratings are so
important.
Well,
I think everyone agrees, but I don't necessarily think he owes an apology. I hate when the social outrage just demands an apology. If he wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you don't like it, don't watch.
No, you can say what you want. But the ratings are so important that they did talk about, and they do talk about this for a couple hours before they actually air. And they said, all right, where do you want to stand on this? And it's a huge topic, right? It's a social awareness type of topic. And
they knew it was going to be.
I think they knew exactly what the stir would be. And then we're talking about it.
I think their response.
And we're probably one of 1,000 radio shows talking about it this morning.
Right. That's why I didn't see their exact response. But my understanding is Fox gave a very, very sort of soft rebuttal of the comments, you know. Because they have to stand by the guy because they knew what he was going to say.
Who knows?
I didn't think. I read. I don't remember exactly what it said. It didn't seem soft to me. I just think like they're not sitting around saying, let's try to be as malicious as possible. Let's say something that's going to hurt people. They have dumb sports takes most of the time.
Trying to hurt people, but they were like, I'll give you an opposing viewpoint here. I don't think necessarily a quarterback should show a sign of weakness. Oh, that's good. That's good. Let's go with that, Skip. Yeah, Skip. Yeah. Do that, Skip.
Right. That'll be controversial.
Again, I don't think they thought it through. I don't think they thought of
I think they did to that extent. I think they did to that extent. I'm going to take a hot take here that's going to piss off some people, and I'm going to say that I don't think your quarterback should show weakness. I do think they did that.
But he didn't even mention so he didn't mention his brother's death. Is it
correct.
Possible that he was only thinking about being depressed from COVID and sitting in his house?
No. I mean, how could he not? I mean, I don't think Skip is dumb. How could he not know what was going on?
No, he's calculated.
I think it was calculated, yeah. I think it was calculated.
I think he just took a point-counterpoint approach, and he likes stirring the pot. He likes being a troll. He's like Drew McGarry. He likes being a troll.
I know, but he's a troll about, like, LeBron is not as good as MJ.
I know, but see.
He's a troll in life.
But he said so many dumb things.
He
says dumb things all the time. Let's just see what Fox does. If Fox suspends him, okay, then it wasn't calculated. But they're not going to.
They're not going to suspend him.
Right.
No, they already said that they talked to him and they expressed the other side.
Right, sure they did.
Their statement is they're proud of Dak Prescott.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but Drab, so I don't know. So what do you you think he should go on the air and apologize?
No, I think he should apologize if he means it, but I would hope that they are trying to teach Skip that, like, this is.
Well, they said they were.
Right, that's all. I mean, if he wants
to
apologize.
That's what I said in my tweet yesterday. Like, somebody needs to coach him up. Doesn't sound very, like, you know, like he's on top of it.
But just because it was a pre-planned segment doesn't mean that he thought of all the damage it was going to do. Or how cruel it really was.
I mean,
what
I don't know what damage it really does, other than it just upsets people. I mean, he upset people. That's
Again,
for sure.
He has to play the role. That's his role on that show. He's the villain. Yeah. And Shannon Sharpe is kind of like the fun guy.
No, here's
who wears
the thing,
like LeBron James gear.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty confident in this take. He's a douche. I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. I think that's fun. Across the board.
Yeah, he's a douche. But that's his role, and they kill it, and they're not going to fire him.
If it wasn't for you guys bringing it up on the outline, I wouldn't pay attention to it at all.
Of course not.
Because I never watched the show.
Well,
I don't like the show.
On social media, so you didn't
and
see
I'm not
outrage.
On social media, so I don't see the outrage, right? So, yeah. But that's the way I feel about it. I believe it was calculated. If I had to put money on it, calculated.
Well, he knew it was going to upset people.
It's a football Friday. We're going to get to the Junkies Blitz next, go through the top five matchups of the weekend. But I need to let you know that when it comes to complex IT integration, no one does it better than Software AG Government Solutions. Software AG's WebMethods is the world's most capable integration platform. The mandate for government is clear. Integration and modernization of IT. Learn why the most innovative government agencies turn to Software AG to tackle their toughest integration challenges. Complex IT simplified. Visit softwareaggov.com. That's softwareaggov.com. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a football Friday. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein will join us at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock for Fridays with Feinstein. Former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson, who's now covering the Washington football team, he will join us at 9. But every morning, we go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz at 7:45. Today, we actually get to talk about games. Of course, we let off talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. They won handily last night in their opener at home against the Houston Texans. Patrick Mahomes, sharp. The rookie running back from LSU, impressive, over 100 yards. Their receiving core, just hard to stop all their guys, man. They throw Ty Hill at you, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. It's just a tough offense to stop, and they were clicking. I don't think they had a three and out till really late in the game. Mm.
Sammy Watkins, by the way, going many rounds later than his teammate, Mecole Hardman, in a lot of fantasy drafts. Now, it's 1 week, and a lot of times Sammy Watkins will flash early and then disappear, but Watkins heavily involved last night. Good game from him.
9 targets.
Yep. Hardman, I believe, 1 catch for 6 yards.
Do you feel the same way? That I thought the quality of play was pretty darn good considering no preseason.
I think it was just pretty solid. Yeah. Not a lot of penalties.
Looked like regular football to me.
It did.
Yeah.
Regular midseason football.
Yep.
I'm sure if we dissected it with a football coach, they'd probably point some things out. But, yeah, I mean, just as a fan. Now, the thing was, I mean, Houston goes up again, and then they just get blown out from there. So, you know, I would expect a more competitive game, especially in the opener, but it wasn't.
They missed DeAndre Hopkins. They did.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, there was some
Will
confusion.
Fuller is a great number two. He shouldn't be your number one.
I agree with that, but also it's the game plan. Like when you have burners like Fuller and Cooks and Kenny Stills, all those guys run either high 4.3s, low 4.4s. Try to take the top off the defense a few times. Try to take some shots downfield. I mean, I just didn't see a lot of that last night. And, you know, credit the Chiefs defense and their secondary. They played well despite having some personnel losses, but
Bill O'Brien felt like, Cakes, and you probably would agree, he felt like he needed an established top level running back, right? Who was a dual threat, who could run and catch.
Yep.
And he decided that was more important for his offense than retaining DeAndre Hopkins. And David Johnson had a good game last night. Mm-hmm. But are they a better team without DeAndre Hopkins and with David Johnson? I'm not so sure.
Remains to be seen.
Well, they have a brutal schedule upcoming, so they better right the ship quickly, or they're going to be staring down the barrel of 0-3.
Now, we touched on it earlier when we talked about that game. Al Michaels went on record and said that they weren't feeding in crowd noise, but apparently the NFL was.
Yeah.
So, unbeknownst to him, because it sounded great.
I thought that
and
was
I was
the,
shocked I, by that.
I thought that was the league juicing it.
So apparently they did.
Now the fans were heard early when they booed when the players did the unity thing.
That was weird, yeah.
So you did have some booing there. All right, let's get to the top 5 matchups of the weekend, at least as I see it. Draft will be happy. Number 5, I've got the Falcons hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, the Seahawks are one of the Super Bowl contenders. They went 11-5 last year, reached the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. The Falcons last year, they started the season 1-7, but finished the year 6-2. Dan Quinn on the hot seat, of course, former defensive coordinator in Seattle. They need to get off to a better start. They added Todd Gurley to the mix. They got great receivers in Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Yep. Matt Ryan still in his prime. So the question is, do they get off to a better start than they did last year? Because towards the end of the year, they're a pretty good team.
This could be one of your more entertaining games of the weekend. The Seahawks have a 25 implied point total. Falcons are almost at 24. So they're expecting a good amount of scoring in this one. I want to see what Gurley's role looks like. He's not going to be the Todd Gurley of 3 or 4 years ago, but if you get him at 70 or 80%, he's still pretty good if he's upright and he's, you know, healthy. He goes back home basically playing in front of, you know, playing in front of the Georgia faithful there. So I think it's a good spot for him. And the Seahawks, can they avoid that, you know, traveling across the country early game? I think it's an early game.
It's a 1 o'clock game, yep.
Yeah, so that should be a fun one.
Do I play Calvin Ridley or DK Metcalf?
Can you play both?
I can. I got DJ Moore too, so I could play them both and I could take Moore out.
I'd bench Moore.
Oh, I think DJ Moore is going to have a scorching hot game.
Dave Richard told me not to bench Moore, so he told me to play Ridley over Metcalf. I can see Metcalf having a big day.
I would play Ridley, but it's like 60-40.
Although I want to see, because the Falcons went out and drafted a lot of defensive players because that was their weakness, and they went out and drafted AJ Terrell, the corner out of Clemson.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Terrell is going to be shadowing DK for most of that game.
And they added Dante Fowler Jr., who had double-digit sacks last year for the Rams, because the Falcons, we talk about the top sack teams and whether the Washington football teams we want them. Falcons had 28 sacks as a team last year. That's anemic.
That is.
All right, number
sweet.
4, also 1 o'clock game on Sunday. You got the Packers taking on the Vikings. Of course, Kirk Cousins had a good year last year, but not against the Packers. He threw 3 interceptions, which was half of his total for the year. He only had 6 on the year and posted by far his 2 lowest passer ratings against the Packers, 52.9 and 58.8. So We'll see if the Packers' defense can generate a pass rush against Kirk Cousins and provide problems against them like they did last season.
I don't care who wins the game. Actually, I do because I picked Minnesota in our predictions. But I just want Davante Adams Cakes to have 27 targets.
Well, he might because the Packers really didn't do anything in the offseason or in the draft to upgrade the wideout core. So he's going to get showered with targets. Don't you worry about that.
Also, yeah. 1 o'clock game, the Dolphins head to New England to take on Bill Belichick's team without Tom Brady. Cam Newton's debut, much anticipated. What do you expect in this one?
I think Miami hangs a little bit. Now, Fitzpatrick's, you know, hit or miss, right? Mm-hmm. But when he's a hit, man, he gets on in a rhythm and he's on.
He could throw for 5 touchdowns.
He can roll it. Yeah. But I don't know. This is going to be an interesting matchup.
Also, 1 o'clock game, number 2 matchup. I've got the Browns taking on the Ravens. Of course, last year, Lamar Jackson, MVP of the league. The offense set a league record with 3,296 yards rushing. But Cleveland was kind of a thorn in their side, right? Nick Chubb went off, ran for 165 yards and 3 touchdowns to lead the Browns to a 40-25 upset of the Ravens, one of their few losses. Do we see Cleveland doing it again?
I don't know. I'd like to hear from Valdez. Valdez is our official.
Do I lay
Ravens
the
expert.
9 or I take the 9?
Ravens historically start off very fast on week 1 under Harbaugh. I think they're like 8-3.
Ooh.
But Cleveland is kind of a bugaboo for them. So this will be an interesting game to watch week 1.
But you guys also did a lot to address the rush defense problems, right?
Correct. They signed Wolf, the end from Denver. They signed Calais Campbell. They drafted Queen and Malik Harrison.
Yeah.
So I think they addressed their issues with their run defense.
And finally, top matchup, just because of the intrigue, 425 kick. You'll get to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with their 43-year-old quarterback, Tom Brady, against the New Orleans Saints and their 41-year-old quarterback, Drew Brees.
Hmm. Man, is that going to be on national TV? Because I don't have the
package
anymore.
It's your late game of the week.
And what am I going to do?
Big question for Tom Brady and that Bucs offense is Mike Evans going to be close to 100%? Will he play? Already dealing with a hammy injury. So, you know, if you take him off the field or he's not 100%, that definitely hurts that offense. You have to keep an eye on that.
First time that Tom Brady's been an underdog in the opener in 5 years. They're right around a 3.5-point dog.
I also want to see how Brady in that offense uses the tight end, because obviously you got Gronk back, you got O.J. Howard, you got Cameron Brait. They got 3 legit, you know, number one tight ends. So how does Byron Leftwich, the OC for Tampa, use those guys, especially if Evans is out?
I just look at them being better and that they're probably not going to have a slew of pick sixes like they did last year. So as
probably
long as Tom
won't.
Takes care of the ball, they should be better off than they were last year.
By the way, this time last year, there was so much O.J. Howard hype. Just so much O.J. Howard's going to be this huge piece of the Tampa offense, and it just fizzled. We'll see if he's more involved this year with Brady there.
All right, it is a Football Friday. We're going to get into the Washington football team matchup with the Eagles coming up at 8:20. But next, it's Fridays with Feinstein as we talk to the best-selling author here in the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.